News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, that was a great segment there with Parker Snyder from the Alabama Policy Institute. He does yeoman's work over there. I've said that before. I use that same phrase, actually, but he does. And he puts a lot of time into this, a lot of grunt work as well as just the analysis itself. But so, yeah, folks, I want to tell you, if you go to rightsideradio.org, look at the top of the page, right above the photos on the top of the page, you'll see something. Let me go back to it right now so I can quote it exactly. You'll see a button, and it says, view the API scorecard. All right, it says that. It's a bright red button right at the top of the page, and it says, view the API scorecard. When you click on that, it takes you to Alabama Policy Institute's website, where you'll see all the criteria for how this is scored. I mean, it's legit, y'all. We've got percentage of votes weighted on key votes. We've talked about the local bills where they raise taxes at home, and we describe what these are, by the way. So, like, you may not even know, but there's a different version of legislation that in Alabama is unique, maybe in all the world, I don't know. We call it local bills. And that's because we don't have any of what's called home rule in Alabama. And so if you want something done at home, a lot of times that has to be allowed first in Montgomery for your city council or whoever to do it at home, or county commission, or whatever the case may be. Well, what a lot of times flies under the radar is that some of the fees and taxes that you pay back home, like, you know, lodging tax or occupational tax or, you know, raising the property, the ad valorem tax, those kind of things, those first go to Montgomery and get passed as a local bill, where just your local delegation gets together, takes a bill down to Montgomery. Now, others in the legislature will have to give you their votes on the floor, but it's like a gentleman's agreement down there. And I get it. I've seen it. The general feeling is, if a delegation agrees unanimously that they want this for their district, then everybody kind of gets out of the way and lets them do it. But you know what? They should still be held accountable. So did they pass local bills that would have raised your taxes at home? And that is on the scorecard. And then, like we said with Parker, we have attendance and public accessibility. And then right after that, they've got the whole outline for the 2022 key votes, the things that are coming up. What do we know? Like right now, we know that there are budget bills that are looking at being passed that are monstrous. They are huge expenditures beyond the scope of any budget ever passed in the state of Alabama. Now, it's wonderful that we have the revenue. Doesn't mean we have to spend it. Keep in mind, increased spending means growth in government. Sometimes you've got, you know, maybe an increased cost. Maybe it costs more to feed prisoners, so that goes up. Maybe it costs more to do Medicaid because of medical billing changes. I get it. But by and large, most of the increases in spending are because of increases in government to some degree. Things we didn't have the year before, now they want them. So we got budgets. Should we have budgets that continue to take us towards a fiscal cliff? I hope not. Gambling legislation. Last year, they had the most god-awful bill that apparently is coming back this year. And this particular bill took all of the casino owners and racetrack owners around the state who have literally, many of them, been breaking our laws for years. And it was going to embed their names into our state constitution as the monopolies who would be allowed to have more casinos. In other words, the casino interests were basically getting the bill they wanted that would have kept anybody else out. Now, I don't like the gambling casino aspect of it anyway. But then you take the free market piece and you think, why would you make a monopoly bill? Come on, Republicans. That's not free market. You're going to take the name of a company and embed it in our Constitution as the only one allowed to put a casino in, I don't know, in this case it was DeKalb County, I believe, or Jackson. Jackson or DeKalb County was fighting to get a casino. Their legislators wanted it badly. Well, that bill's coming back. That's a no vote on the API scorecard. Grocery tax repeal. There's also a plan right now, we understand, to provide a repeal of the business privilege tax. You remember Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth was on my show the other day, and he confirmed that, and that bill is coming. We're saying that would be a yes vote if it comes up. All these things are on there and more, so I encourage you to check them out. But then you look at the actual scorecard from last year if you want to. You can see there's a button at the top of the watch list criteria that says view the results from the 2021 session. So it's like a double layer of clicks here. but you can go and see it last year. I'm looking at it right now. Let's take a gander through some of our locals. Okay, so like Senator Tom Butler of Huntsville scored 100. A Republican, yeah. And then Senator Sam Gavan of Huntsville also scored 100. You know, a guy that I really like, but it's Senator Garland Gudger of Cullman. He only scored a 79. And then who else is in this listening area that I can spot at a glance here? Changing the page. Let's see who else we see. Andrew Jones, who is a senator from Northeast Alabama, only scored a 70. He barely made it above the red category. Who else? Tim Melson. Oh, boy, this is one of the worst. So Tim Melson, state senator from over in the Shoals. Over the Shoals area, I believe. Tim Melson scored a 44. So I think that was one of the lowest Republican votes or scores of any of them at all. And then you had Democrats, and you can imagine where some of them scored. We had Senator Bobby Singleton scored a 15. Senator Greg Reed from Jasper scored an 81. He's leadership. He's the Senate pro tem. So, okay, let's look at House members. How did they score? Going to the House, lots of House members. There's 105 House members. So let's see if I can scan through and find somebody. Mike Ball, House member from Huntsville, scored a 62. He voted basically against almost everything that we believe was a conservative position. And then you've got some others. Let's see. Chris Blackshear. No, he's down south. Napoleon Bracey. K.L. Brown from over in Anniston area. He's generally a conservative guy. He only scored a 66. So basically what I'm saying, folks, you can look at this. You can see right across the board, green checks, red X's. How did they fare? Did they try to raise your local taxes? You know, those kind of things matter. Do they have public, are they accessible to their constituents? Can we see them in the public eye? All these things matter. All right, folks, listen, that's enough of that. I'm going to switch gears on the triple dipper here in a minute. Copper, let's go ahead and take that that mid-cycle break we got to take. I'll take it now, and then I'll come back, folks. I'm going to go into the next part of the triple dipper. I am calling it Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week. Oh, it's funny, but it's not funny. You know what I'm saying? Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week is number three on the triple dipper. And hey, if you want to call in, I'll take calls along the way. 866-494-9866. That's 866-494-9866. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, got to tell you about my friends at Otter Creek Farm. So, yeah, I was out there the other day. I think I told you that yesterday. And just, you know, there were some hunters that were heading out into the fields for a pheasant hunt. And then I was with a group that was looking at it as a place for possibly doing a corporate retreat. Because whether you're there for wing shooting, pheasant and quail, that kind of thing, they've got the guides, the guns, the dogs. They've got the beautiful manicured hundreds and hundreds of acres. But they've also got amazing hard stand facilities. And when I say that, I'm not talking about like just, you know, just a place where you can have a picnic. I'm talking about beautiful, beautiful facilities, fully decked out. You can stay overnight if you want to. The chefs there will cook for you like you would not believe. And all of it is available for a wedding destination, for corporate retreats, for just to get away with for yourself, to sit by the pool, the infinity pool there, have a sip of wine and watch the sun go down over the horizon. All you got to do is check them out. OtterCreekFarmstead.com is the website, OtterCreekFarmstead.com. Otter Creek Farm. It's right here in North Alabama. It's known around the world. Check it out. All right, I'm moving into number three on the triple dipper. Having a little fun with the title on this one. Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week. That's what I'm calling it. It was. I mean, it was like, it was the political tsunami. It was everything that anybody in office would ever not want to have happen to them. When you're the leader of the free world, you're supposed to have the ability to get something done, right? Well, Biden, I don't think Biden could fight his way out of a wet paper sack right now. I don't think he could find his backside with both hands. I mean, it's awful. And watching it, what's happening too is his own party's turning against him. That's even harder to watch. We're seeing right now that his own party are literally not wanting to stand next to him on the podium. That happened in Atlanta. when Stacey Abrams, who has been championing the ideas of reforming elections to suit liberal notions, has been championing that as the poster child for, I got robbed of my election, we got to fix everything. He was there to give a speech on that very topic in her hometown, and she didn't show up. You know, so what's happening right now is Biden's polls are tanking, and this week was worse than ever. He got handed so many bad moments in 1 week. Well, so here I was putting this together. In fact, I take it back. I put it together last night. Last night I sat up late resourcing the show because I was going to be doing something with my church this morning. And so I sat up late last night resourcing the show. I sent it all to Birdman. And then this morning when I got up, I did happen to find another audio clip. And I thought, that's my whole segment. I could do the whole segment on that right there, although I've got a stack of paper. But Copper, you got clip one. You good to go on clip one? Okay. All right. Well, tell you what. Clip one, Copper, Brett Baer, talking about the Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week. Play it.
Well, let's just review the past 4 days for the Biden administration and this president. The CDC fact checks liberal justices pushing the vaccine mandate. Americans largely lose faith in the CDC, at least by what they say to pollsters. Finding a COVID test is hard around the country. Record cases around the country. Hospitals reaching capacity. The president pivots to a voting rights speech with a speech even members of his own party panned. Stacey Abrams did not show up for that event in Atlanta, her state, her issue. Inflation hits a four-decade high. Consumers complain about bare shelves. Stories about a 2024 ticket without Biden or Harris pop up all over the place. Harris is mocked for another rough network TV interview. The president stumbles through a teleprompter COVID event asking for the testing czar's name. Mm-hmm. The president admits voting rights bill will likely fail, as you just heard, as Senator Sinema from Arizona takes to the floor before he arrives on the Hill. Senator Manchin's statement, again, definitive on the filibuster. Senator Manchin tells reporters today he hasn't talked to the president since before Christmas, and there's been no renegotiation of Build Back Better. The Supreme Court knocks down the vaccine mandate for private businesses over 100 employees. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan announces no further talks with Russia as the Russians get more aggressive. North Korea launches yet another missile, and the Pentagon says they're surprised by that capability. DHS announces 104,000 migrants between March and August of last year, only 50,000 checked in with ICE. It's Thursday.
Wow. Wow. And if that's not a capstone comment, he said that was in literally 4 days. That was like everything the Biden administration is trying to do all failed in 1 week, but not the whole week, just the first 4 days. You heard it. Brett Baer gave this. That was an amazing recitation that literally just sort of encapsulates everything about this whole segment I'm doing right now. And the funny thing was, I was prepared for this segment before I ever even found that audio clip this morning. Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week. It got so bad, by the way. Here's one off Fox News, a story. Fox News reporting that Jen Psaki got sarcastic at the podium. Now, I have said on this show before, I think I said it with the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson yesterday. I just surmise that Jen Psaki hates her job. I mean, can you imagine every single day having to go in and explain away weeks like this? I mean, every time you say, we believe in this, and we're going to do these things, and I'm going to circle back to you on that, and yada, 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 and it fails, and then you got to come back the next day and go, well, we believe they should have voted with us, but obviously they won't, so we're pivoting now to the next thing. And then it fails, and then you got to pivot to the next thing, and then it fails. Well, she got a bit snippety, which she's prone to do. So yesterday is reported that, according to Fox, she deployed a colorful bit of sarcasm Thursday, according to this article, in response to a question regarding these setbacks that continue to pile up for the Biden administration. Yeah, and it was. The article goes on to say it was a bitter day for the White House. That was the same day the Supreme Court blocked President Biden's corporate vaccine mandate, the same day that moderate Democrat senators rejected a change to the filibuster that he needed. Remember that? He needed to change the rules in his old Senate stomping grounds to get a centerpiece of his agenda done, which is the voting changes in the voting rights bills. In fact, listen to this. If this is not a slap in the face, they all knew he was coming over to the Capitol to meet with him, to meet with them, the Democrats. They all knew he was coming over to meet with the Senate Democrat caucus, which he did. Before he got there, Kyrsten Sinema went to the floor of the Senate and announced before he got there that she would not be changing her opinion on the filibuster rules. I mean, if that's not a slap in the face, that is literally like saying, excuse me, let me suck the wind right out of your sails. That's what that was. But she did. And she got up there and gave that speech knowing full well. Well, Jen Psaki, in being questioned about all of this, she tries to talk for a minute, and then she finally just gets snarky and says, well, we could propose legislation to see if people want to support bunny rabbits and ice cream, but that would not be very rewarding. So that's her answer to why things are failing. That sets the tone for where I'm going with the rest of this. As to Kyrsten Sinema, now I haven't seen it yet. In fact, I meant to Google it before I even got on the air today, but I didn't get around to it. But apparently her speech on the Senate floor, which I quoted yesterday, but I didn't realize, was almost to the point of emotional. She's sick of this. She is ready for them to quit. Here's her comment. She said, there's no need for me to restate my longstanding support for the 60-vote threshold to pass legislation. There's no need for me to restate its role in protecting our country from wild reversals of federal policy. This week's harried discussions about Senate rules are but a poor substitute for what I believe could have and should have been a thoughtful public debate at any time over the past year. Basically, she put the wood to the issue. She said, you want to change the rules? You want to do away with 60 votes for breaking the filibuster? You want to do away with that? No, I'm not your girl. I'm not the one to do it with you. Well, here's an idea of how bad it got. Liberals are freaking out about Sinema. Storyline here says that the ACLU's staffer began tweeting out because apparently Senator Sinema appeared like she was getting a bit emotional while she was saying this, tweeted, we're breaking her, keep going, meaning what they were going to do was keep trying to wear her out with things like following her into a bathroom and doxing her. Well, this Sarah Michelson from the ACLU, a senior campaign strategist and formerly having worked for Bernie Sanders, she took to Twitter and said that. And then she even went on to say, sounds like she's going to cry, keep going, talking about how they ought to get on her because she's breaking. Well, after that was published, she quickly made her Twitter account private, deleted her title and her employer from her Twitter bio, trying to distance herself from it. But it didn't work. I mean, the liberals were freaking out everywhere. MSNBC host Mehdi Hasan tweeted out, shocker, Sinema will continue to support the filibuster and won't budge. Says she's supporting voting rights bills but won't do anything to ensure they pass. Shame on her. Lawrence O'Donnell, also from MSNBC, said, Sinema deserves a Senate's stupidest speech by a Democrat and an edge of tears voice to give childish words a melodramatic effect. They are freaking out because one of their own won't do everything they demand. All right, so in Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week, Biden also, you know how he does when he gets angry? He starts lashing out. Well, he gave not quite a lashing out. He gave like a tired, I feel defeated, very old, let me talk low, I can't remember my words, who am I talking to kind of speech. I mean, it was that way. I would encourage you to look it up and confirm this. But in doing so, he begged, and that's what he's doing, a story on the post-millennial. He literally begged social media companies and media outlets, in his words, to go please deal with the misinformation and disinformation that's on your shows. It has to stop. Shaking his head in dismay, what he's basically saying is, you've got to start censoring things because they don't agree with me. That's what he's saying. That's his plea in his very tired, head in his hands kind of voice. I mean, literally, he was sitting there, his hands in front of his face, pleading for them to censor things so his agenda could pass. More on this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, on Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week. We will be right back.